From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Brewer's Speech Therapy Class, teaching co-host how to read introductions with feelings since 2010.
Fucking asshole.
You can check them out at brewerspeechtherapy.com. And don't forget to use the checkout code DI Plus. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the one and the only Mr. Adam Burns. Hi, Adam.
Look, I'm telling you, I was nervous. You were supposed to record something for me, and then I email you, and you're like, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to do that. And then I had it all written out and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. I don't have a radio voice.
It has nothing to do with doing a radio. You have to sell it. You know what it is? It's a very cheesy thing. And the only way that you can effectively out-cheese it is by over-cheesing it.
Well,
you have to embrace the cheese in order to overcome the cheese, which is a very meta kind of a metaphysical kind of a thing.
I was like, it's been so long since I've, you know, sort of...
See, you could have done that.
Well, I don't know. I was just, and I don't know why I was nervous about it. I've recorded hundreds of podcasts in my 4 or 5 years of doing it, or however long it's been. But I was just like, oh, what if our chemistry's not good? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I had to write it all out.
Well, before we go any further, I would like to extend a very heartfelt thank you to Gene Bond, my lovely and talented co-host on Walkahol, for coming in and filling in for me while I was gone. And I know that I just said Gene Bond, and I know you use Gene B's because she used to go by Gene B's, but then that wasn't her real name. And so now she's going by her real name, which is Gene Bond, which, you know, is somewhat of a secret. I don't know if you know this or not, but she's heir to the Gold Bond fortune.
Well, actually, I was going to say, does she walk around saying, yes, I'm Gene.
No, she's actually heir to the medicated powder fortune. That is not a commonly known fact. That's why Dr. Wesley P. Stone had that Gold Bond's medicated powder. Oh,
she carries it around with her, you know, at all times.
She does. Where did you think he got it from? Yeah, Gene Bond, the heir to the Gold Bond fortune.
What is that James Bond thing where he says, no, Mr. Bond, I want you to die?
Right.
Something like
that. I don't want Gene to die, though. So,
well, anyway. It was very fun. And I tell you what, I got two surprises. First of all, I didn't know that she knits. And she was literally sitting there the whole time knitting away.
It is very disconcerting. She does that on my show, too. She sits there and knits while she's as if she's not even paying attention.
Yes, exactly. She like leans back and she's like got this ball of yarn and these big stabby looking things like she could poke your eyes out.
Right. It's like podcasting with your mother while she's watching television or something.
And then, yeah, yes, dear, I'm listening, dear.
Uh-huh, you know? That's nice, uh-huh.
And then she just pulls out this shocker of the century that she's got two 20-something-year-olds that I had no idea about. I thought Jean was like 18 or something.
Right.
I mean, she does not look old enough to have two 20-somethings.
Thank goodness you live in Arkansas and she lives in Oregon, or else you might have dated her son.
Is he gay?
No, but...
Well, then I wouldn't have dated her son.
I don't think that's ever stopped you before. Anyway, how you doing, Adam?
I am doing fantastic. I could, if I was any better, I would just be shitting gold.
Well, there you go. That sounds vaguely disgusting.
I was trying to think of something cute, and that was as good as I could come up with. I'm sorry. How are you?
I am just ducky. You know, the reason Gene filled in for me is, of course, that I went down to Florida for Thanksgiving to spend some time with my family. And also, the Plant City Community Theater is exactly what it sounds like. It's Plant City's community theater, which
Damn it, I wish I had that Green Acres song that I added in on the episode before. I would have played it right now, but I don't, so.
And it is as cheesy and as corny as it is, it has been a very big part of my family's life. Growing up, I was in all kind of Plant City Community Theater productions. My dad is pretty heavily involved in community theater, in both directing and performing in it. And it's just a small town community. Absolutely nothing good. I mean, nothing that you would want to watch unless you were from there and you knew the people in the play. But it's been a very big part of my life. And they had just recently acquired a new building, which is new to them. So it was a used building. in downtown Plant City. And it was in all kind of, it used to be a printing shop for the local paper. So it was kind of like a big warehouse, and it was a feed store before that that had gotten converted to this printing shop. Anyway, long story short, I had volunteered a long time ago that I would tile the main rooms for them, which are the entrance room, not the theater, but the big entrance rooms.
And, right.
If they would get the tile, which if, you know, because there's people on the board that, you know, could make that happen, where they could get the tile donated, I would come in and provide the labor. So it was this weekend, this past week, Thanksgiving week, was when we were scheduled to do it. And so we got together a bunch of people, including the lovely and talented Alden Thomas and the lovely and talented Guru Nudi, who came over from Tampa and to help. And Alden actually brought his sister, Julia. And
I saw a picture of a girl, and I wondered who it was. So
yes, that's, yeah, Alden's sister, Julia. So they came and helped, as well as my entire family. So my mom, my dad, both my brothers and my sister, my nephew, everyone that I could beg or twist their arm to be there was there to help us tile this big room. And they threw a curveball at us at the last minute, and we had to do the bathrooms, which we were not planning on doing. So that kind of wonked everything up. And the men's room, long story short, the men's room at the Plant City Community Theater is done entirely thanks to Alden and Julia. So we're thinking about renaming it the Alden Thomas Memorial Bathroom.
I was going to say, you know, they could name a toilet paper holder after him, or, you know, the little hand dryer, you know, the, right, Alden Memorial hand dryer, something like that. I don't know. Well, yeah, I did get lots of, I saw the little Google Plus messages and all that, and I even called you and was able to talk to Guru Nudi on Saturday, because you were in the middle of tiling something, I think, so.
Yes, and I am still sore. It is now, 5 days after the fact? I am still sore. And it's not like my arms or my chest or anything, it's my legs, you know, just because you're leaning over and mortaring and then leaning over and putting tiles down and carrying tiles and trying to lean over and put them into place and then tapping them. And it's like you just use muscles in your legs that you don't normally use. And oh my God, I am so freaking sore.
And most gay men, when they go to Florida for vacation, come back saying they're sore for other reasons. I had to lean over the whole time I was at Gay Days. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. They were tapping something, but
that was on a cushy bed. This was on a hard concrete floor.
Well, you know, it takes all types. Evidently, you're, what was it that, oh gosh, now I just lost my train of thought. So I wanted to mention, you are going to go on with your story, but I wanted to mention this, and I thought this was a good kind of segue. Our listeners are dirty. I was being dirty, and we haven't mentioned it, you and I together, but that we have a fabulous new, what do you call it? Logo. Artwork. I can't Google search and like stuff like that and talk at the same time.
We have a new logo for the show, the Dubious Intent Plus logo, which as I know, as far as I can tell, is not yet on our website. So it's only on our Google Plus page at this point in time.
Well, here's the deal about that. I was thinking, because that the little square thing doesn't necessarily go with what we have at the top, that I would just cut out us and put us over that city scene or
just
something.
Just change it.
Just change it. Change to hell. Do you just want that big tile right in the center of the screen? Or what do you want?
Make it like our Google Plus page, where there's multiple things next to each other. So make it the center one and then put other square ones next to it and then make that the big picture.
Well, we will have meetings, we will have committees on that and whatever. But,
anyway, the point is if you look down now, ladies and gentlemen, at your iPod or any kind of MP3 player that you're playing, it should be the artwork for this very episode. I would like to correct that. The artwork that you're actually looking at now is the Christmas artwork, because we're in December.
Okay, so you're telling me that's the one I'm putting on there. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm telling you that's the one you've already put on there that they're now looking at.
Oh, it is. The reason I didn't put it on the last episode is because you and I had not had an episode together since it was done. So that's the main reason. Now, the website is another deal. I wanted to make sure you approved before. I knew I approved, but we hadn't
Did we mention that Larry Queen did it?
No, I don't know. Queen.
From the Brain Hammer podcast, thank you, Larry Queen, very much.
He is so talented. He is going to do one of me, like, shirtless. And the only time I'm ever going to look muscular is going to be in this thing that he's going to do.
You know
for
what?
Me.
But with that spray tan that you've got going on right now,
it is not spray tan. I actually get
all
in right, my tanning
I'm gonna
bed.
Say, all I'm going to say this: do you have an old Ken doll somewhere?
I don't. Because
you could just
an old
Ken take the Ken doll shirtless and just superimpose your head on it, because you kind of right. got that same skin color going on as the Ken doll.
That is my natural skin color when I tan. It is not spray. I have not sprayed anything on me. But we got these comments when you posted it. One says, "Wow, that's amazing," from Donna Sugars. And then I have to say, Chad, one of our listeners, has this thing where he likes to call me daddy. And that has to stop, because I am not a daddy. But he says, "Make Adam a leather daddy." And then Brenda Boo says, "I like it, but Adam's nose seems kind of big," because I mentioned, I think on my podcast, that I had that discussion. And then Chad thinks that they should make things look big. And Timmy says, "Great job." And Peter says, asks if there's an adult version.
Right.
So Chad says, "Adam tied up being lubed with Dan wearing leather and nipple rings, lubing his hand for Adam's special place."
No, no.
And then Bjorn, or however you say that, says he'll take the cute bearded one to go. Bjorn,
but,
okay.
But you don't have a beard.
You're the cute bearded one.
Oh,
the cute
I'm the
bearded
cute
one.
Bearded one. Oh.
And then Timmy will take two.
At least in cartoon form.
Timmy will take two, and I don't know whether that means he'll take both of us or two of you. And then Peter says it's a DI Plus sandwich. So there right. you go. There you go. And you had made the comment before that it looks like I'm sitting on your lap.
It does. It looks like I'm a pedophile with you sitting on my... Actually, you know what? Now that he's put in the backgrounds and stuff, it doesn't look that way. But when he was doing the initial sketches and it was just you and I sitting in that way, it did. It kind of looked like we were a bad ventriloquist act. Or I was a dirty pedophile.
I actually kind of do resemble Danny O'Day or something like that, you know, in the old. But yeah, the initial sketches, you also had white in your beard. And
I asked him to take it. You notice that you see white in my beard now?
How am I supposed to answer that?
Well, do you see it? Can you see? I mean, not like you could in.
Not as much. I will say.
I've been coloring it.
Oh, okay. Is it just for men?
Yeah, actually.
That brush-in stuff?
It is. It is the just for men brush-in stuff. Very important, by the way, when you get the just for men, to make sure you get the just for men for beard and mustaches, because when Robert went out and got me some one day and it was just for men and it was like for your hair. So it's a completely different product.
Well, I wondered two things about that. First of all, would the just for men for your beard work in your pubic area? If you had some gray hairs around your pubes. And the other question was, the one that's for your hair, does it dye all of your hair? Because it says on the box that it just focuses on the gray ones. So I was kind of wondering, because I have a few little grays that just a little bit. And if I used that, would it completely change my hair color or just mask the ones that were gray?
A chemist would be a better person to ask this question, because there is really actual chemistry involved in this, because it is substituting the pigment for particular proteins. And I believe some of the more expensive dyes and some of the ones that you're talking about that target gray hair do not actually, they won't displace the pigments of hair that's already a color other than gray, because of the chemical makeup of the gray. So it like targets, I don't know, it's chemistry, which I was never good at.
At the salon, you know, they have color camo or whatever is what they call it, and it's more expensive, but the Just for Men's fairly cheap. So I was just, I guess it was more of a question of...
Well, I can
of,
tell you this. If you get the For Beard and Mustache, really the only difference between the For Beard and Mustache and the Just for Men regular hair color, the regular men hair color is A, it's in a single tube that you are expected to use all at once. So it's already mixed. You're expected to directly apply it to your head and be done with it. The beard and mustache comes in two separate tubes that you can reuse multiple times, you know, that you can reseal and just use as little of it as you need at a time.
Right.
So you mix it, and that's what activates it. So you squeeze out the equal amounts, and then you mix it. And it comes with a very stiff brush, and it is a cream as opposed to a shampoo. So you're actually applying it with the brush. So if you had some hair, you know, on your head that was gray, like I have some right here,
right,
you could just take the brush and just hit that area right there. It would not affect anything else on your head.
It won't matter for long. I don't have much hair left, so...
Then what you need is Ronco's Hair in a Can.
Yeah, I need that spray-on stuff. I considered that at one point. But, you know, I don't want to.
This is all fascinating.
Go that ghetto. So you were tiling.
I'm done. I was tiling.
Oh,
yeah,
you were
tiling,
done.
I'm sore. Thank you, Alden. Thank you, Guru Nudie, both of you for doing that.
So I didn't do anything for Thanksgiving, so we won't really go over that. And I discussed it with Jean. I sat here and decorated my apartment. But this week, I've been tasked with the arduous task of doing my self-evaluation for work. And my opinion of that...
Wait. You know what? I have a copy of it right here. So this is the... this is the evaluation that you yourself filled out for work. Let's see. General comments. I am fat and I'm old right. And I am going bald. I don't understand why anyone would want to sleep with me.
No, I'm very,
I think that's a bit harsh.
That was the personal appearance section. But as far as the professional work, I think it was Terry in Wisconsin made the comment on one of the social networks that I'm on that, cause I had said, please someone just write this for me. And he made the comment, so you're wanting a complete work of fiction, right? And I was kind of offended by that because I actually am very confident in my abilities at work. And I know that I always attempt to do the best job that I can. So I'm pretty confident in that. My thing about doing a self-evaluation is, my theory is, if you've done a good job throughout the year, then management should have seen that through the results of your work and other people talking to them. I should not have to be cheerleading for myself or, you know, politicking or whatever.
Right.
You don't agree with that?
No, I'm just saying, but this is how they get out of having to do that.
Well, anyway, so I'm okay at doing that stuff. I just hate doing it because you have to sit there and you have to use all these flowery words and yada, yada, yada. And they have all these sections like, you know, professional judgment and leadership ability and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they're like all these sections and you have to rate yourself. Do I need development in that area? Or did I do, you know, as expected? I can't remember what the terms are. Or did I exceed? Or am I a role model? And then you sit there and you think, well, I don't want to look like I'm really trying to pump myself up here. So I don't want to pick like exceptional on everything or role model on everything. But I really don't want to give myself a lot of needs improvement because then that looks like I think that I sucked.
So it's just kind of a combination of
excellent
and
fuck off. Excellent. Fuck off.
Well, yeah, because you got to get the balance right, you know. And then I talked to some of my other coworkers or whatever, and they're saying, oh, you know, they've already put in for your raise and everything at this point because my review is only like 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks away, and my coworker who's been at Walmart for like 10 years. He says, oh, by now they've already had to put in the paperwork. They just want to have your opinion so that when they give you theirs, you guys can discuss it during your evaluation. But they already know what they've given you. So it's like, well, it's even more pointless.
Excellent. Excellent.
But I was speaking, so that's what I've been doing, but I've been talking to a lot of people also about office etiquette, and I put this here because I was talking about work. So I was sitting at my cube writing my evaluation the other day, and I start hearing this clipping noise.
Clipping.
This clipping noise, right? Not clipping like audio clipping. But
I was going to say, you mean clipping like was in the show last week that you edited?
Oh, Lord Jesus. You only brought that up because I actually called. When I called you on the phone and you were tiling, I was calling to apologize profusely for my clipping that I couldn't fix. But
so
no,
there was clipping.
It was clipping like nail clipping. So I have coworkers that have nail clippers at their desk and they like to clip their nails at work.
Yes.
And I think that is gross. I think there are certain things that you should not do at work. I mean, I don't understand. And I put this on Facebook and I got a comment from Melissa saying, outside my office, a guy sits in a cubicle where twice a day I get to hear him brush his teeth at his desk. I even get to hear him swig his water, rinse around, and then spit it out in the trash can. So, I mean, the things people do at work, I just think, and I go in, even, and I guess I'm just overcritical because in the bathroom, a lot of my coworkers wash their face, brush their teeth, do all this stuff in the sink. Do that stuff at home, but at least don't clip your nails in the cubicle next to mine.
All right, now, I understand how clipping someone's nails in a cubicle could be rude, maybe, but I don't see how it was gross.
I don't know that noise. It's just like, ugh, I know somebody's touching
their... Gross. I mean, gross is, you know, like I don't know, wiping your butt in your cubicle or something.
Well, that's a whole other thing. People in the bathroom.
That's gross.
I mean, I know it's in the bathroom, but some of the noise that's coming out of my coworkers in the bathroom is just wrong. It's wrong.
They should. So, you know what? They should just take the bathrooms out of work.
Yes.
And just tell people to go
they
home.
They should.
Just
actually,
go home.
We have so many people, and we have this one large bathroom on my floor, and there's only one door to go into the bathroom. So every time you go in, there's somebody coming out, and you run into each other. Or you know the thing where somebody's opening the door right as you're trying to push the door open, and you like fall into each other? That happens like all the time. And I want to put in a complaint and say, could you guys install a door that's like one of those airport doors where it has an in and an out? And it doesn't really have a. They're doing remodeling right now. I'm gonna tell the construction company they need to. But anyway, I think clipping your nails is gross and at work, and I think you should do it at home. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
That was my office.
All right. So I was gonna talk about the trip back from Florida, but I'm not going to. Just because it's boring and it's I learned this term on the last Live It Up show. It's an evergreen story. I could talk about this at any time. It is not time dependent.
Well, so you're not going to talk about smokers?
Oh, no. I was going to talk about. So one of the things when I was tiling and I happened to mention to Alden, and I don't think I've mentioned this on a podcast yet. I think I've alluded to this on Live It Up, maybe.
Are you saying this is a Dubious Intent Plus exclusive?
This is a Dubious Intent exclusive.
You need to have some kind of music for that. Like, you know, I know you don't have anything, and I'm putting you on the spot here.
But then you and Gene went out of your way to say, oh, he's so fast at coming up.
I know.
And a Dubious Intent exclusive.
Hilly daddy, hullerody. Holiday day day holiday holiday I-O.
And then you just pick the
I don't
you pick like the first three sounds you could find.
No, I was just trying to find the one of them was an emergency yodel and one of them was a drum roll and it's a No, that doesn't work. Anyway, so here's the thing. So I think I mentioned this on Live It Up.
Do you have a laser to add to?
No. So Robert and I were taking Chantix, and but I don't think I explained what Chantix was or why we were taking it. Anyway, it was to quit smoking, so that we were quitting smoking, and primarily because it's time to quit smoking, but also because we're moving to Connecticut, where cigarettes are like $9 a pack, so just outrageously expensive. And yeah, like I said, it's time to quit. Anyway, so I happened to mention to Alden that we had quit smoking, and he was, you know, said this, the thing that all non-smokers say to their smoking friends when they say they quit. And so the reason I put this on the list here today is because I wanted to just, you know, as a helpful little service to those of you out there who have never smoked before, this is what not to say to a smoker who has quit smoking, which is, oh, good for you. I'm so proud of you. Don't say that. Just don't say that to us, because that nothing goes through us just quicker than that.
It's kind of like, I don't know, good boy, or it sounds
yes.
kind of. It sounds
oh,
kind
did
of.
Did you make pee-pee in the potty? Oh, I'm so proud of you. See, and it goes along. The other thing that pisses off smokers are those heavy-handed smoking commercials that show you the lungs. You know, like these are the horrible lungs of a smoker, and blah 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 blah. It's because you're operating under the premise that we don't know that it's bad for us. Trust us, we know it's bad for us. We know that it's killing us. We are aware of all of these things. That it is bad for us. That we shouldn't be doing. That it is killing us. But the thing that you're neglecting to understand is that we are addicted to that chemical. And so there is an entire addiction process that has to be overcome before you can get past that. So when you are trying to break that addiction process, the last thing you want to hear is someone who's never been addicted to, like, oh, good for you. Oh, that is so good. It's kind of like, you know, like Robert coming up to me and saying, you know, like, oh, you lost a pound or something. Because, you know, he never gains any weight. He's never had to struggle with his weight whatsoever.
Well, it, you know,
I don't mean to be bitchy about this. Please don't take this as a bitchy thing. I'm just saying.
Are you still smoke free?
Well, that's not exactly how Chantix works.
Oh, so you kind of slowly work your way off of it, or what?
Okay, so like the way that Chantix works is it attaches itself to the same receptors in your brain that nicotine does. So you start taking Chantix a couple of weeks before you quit smoking in order to build it up in your system. And then you choose a quit date, and then you quit. and you can still smoke during that period in time, but you try to quit. Because what you're doing at that point is the cigarette is not providing you with any nicotine because the drug is blocking any nicotine absorption from happening. But there is still a whole psychological addiction that you have to overcome.
Right.
So like smoking while you're driving or smoking while you're on the phone or smoking while you have a cup of coffee, these are things that are not necessarily nicotine related. They're psychologically.
So did you have a cigarette before we started recording?
No. The last cigarette I had today was at like 5 o'clock.
Good for you, Daniel.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, I know when Maddie would try to quit smoking, I would try to be supportive, but I wouldn't say good for you. I wouldn't say anything. I would just go on like everything was normal because he didn't need to hear me saying anything. It's not my deal. It's not my addiction or whatever. So, what was I going to talk about?
I don't know. I'm not speaking to you.
Oh, is that why you're doing that? Why? I thought you were telling me to move on. You made this motion.
I am. Move along. Oh. I mean, if I were talking to you, I would say that.
Oh, whatever. So did you have anything else to say about smokers, Mr. Emotional? I wear my emotions on my sleeve. That should be something you should be saying to me. Oh, you're going to keep talking, mister. Anyway, I'm so proud of you, Daniel.
Fuck off!
So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I did want to have a dating update.
Because on the sheet it says Dottie.
No, it says
dating. And I thought
it
was some kind of, no, it says Dottie. And I thought it was like maybe some kind of Indian thing. Like
D-A-T-I-N-G. What are you looking
on
at?
On my screen it says D-A-T-I. Adam. D-A-T-I. I thought perhaps you had gone to an Indian restaurant, that maybe that was some kind of
lovely
chutney thing that comes with naan or something. I don't know.
No, you know what? My Wi-Fi is having issues and it's still trying to reach google.com. So I made changes to the thingy it evidently didn't update for you. Anyway, so yes. I've talked about this, and so I still don't know whether I want to date or not. And I went into a long thing on my own show about the reasons for that is because I'm a people pleaser, and my brain expects people to have expectations of me that they may not have. And then I resent them for that. It's one of those, I'm sure as a psychology major, you understand this and, you know, you would know.
My only piece of advice to you is if you do end up dating this guy, that you don't refer to him as the Mexican. that's probably not a good way to start a relationship.
You know what? His in my phone, he is Jesse Mexican Rogers, because I have two people that are named Jess or Jesse in my phone, and I was trying to think of a way to know which one was which. So I put Mexican in the middle.
now he sounds like a professional wrestler.
Right. So
Jesse the Mexican.
Well, so just to be really short about it, because most people have already heard this, but he doesn't have time to see me, and he says things like, I'm freaked out because I think you're sleeping with a bunch of other people. And yet every time I invite him over or we try to go on a date, something comes up and he can't do it. And so we haven't seen each other in like 2 or 3 weeks. He just keeps text messaging like every day. So I know he's interested because he keeps text messaging. But it's just, you know, it's like, well, dude, if you want to date me, then you have to actually physically see me. And you can't tell me that you're worried I'm going to be sleeping around if I'm never seeing you. You know, I mean, it's just, and he's coming out of a marriage with a woman, and it's just, you know, I don't.
Abort. Abort.
Yeah.
Abort.
And see, I tend to pick people because I think they're cute, and that never works out.
I'm not going to say that shouldn't be any of the criteria, but that should be way, way lower on the criteria list.
Well, I will say this about him, though. He is smart. He is responsible. He has a good job.
For a Mexican.
No, shut up. He is smart. He has a good job. He takes care of himself. I like responsibility. And he's around my age. He's 30. So that's much older than I normally go.
I know.
And, you know, but...
Does he tell people online that he's 27?
No, he doesn't. He says that he's 30. But so I don't know. And then there's this other guy that I've messed around with a bunch, but we've never dated. Mm-hmm. And he's also cute and responsible and owns a home and all of this. And he's like 27, 28, something like that. And we were just talking the other day, and I said, because we had messed around one night, and I said, oh, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time or whatever. And he's like, yeah, we should go out on a date sometime or something, you know, because I enjoy it when you come over. And so that's another option. So that's bachelor number two.
Yes. And bachelor number three?
I don't think there is a bachelor number three. No. There were a couple of 19-year-olds I was talking to on Adam for Adam tonight.
Run away.
Anyway, so that's that. But I wanted to, it's very hard to have a dating life because my mom.
Well, there's your problem. You shouldn't be bringing her along on these dates.
Is very smothering. I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but when I lived far away, she always used to complain that she didn't see me enough, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I move closer and I see them on a relatively frequent basis, like every day, because I leave the dog over there, that will stop. But every night she's like inviting me to have dinner and like, you know,
poor person. How could you have missed this section of Motherhood 101?
So now, like,
distance does not matter as to whether they will pester you as to how long it's been since they've seen you. It's like baked into their DNA.
So now it's like, you know, and I just thought, surely if I move there and I see them almost on a daily basis, she's not going to still want me to see her. I think I could climb back up into her uterus and she wouldn't be happy.
That was uncalled for.
I mean, really?
Uncalled for.
Whatever. I mean, I think I could be there on her shoulder all the time.
You've made your point.
What? Do you think that was tasteless?
Yes, I do. Well, you're becoming one of our listeners.
Oh, right. But anyway, so I don't know how I'm going to have a dating life because especially on the weekend, she's like, hey, I'm cooking dinner. Are you going to come over? Hey, you're going to come hang out? You're going to spend the Saturday with us and watch the football game? And I'm just like, okay. But, you know, when I actually have someone that I'm dating or friends that I want to hang out with, then it's going to become an issue. So
just have her make snacks.
Right. I'll just be like, well, you can come along with me.
Oh, do I do the thing or do you do the thing? Who has the tech segment?
You do.
Oh, I should probably send that to you.
Yeah, and you needed to edit it so that it didn't have that beginning part that you don't like.
You know what?
Like.
I've been busy and now I'm sore. And that's. Well, this is the remix. We don't.
Technologic.
Do you want me to cut out the beginning of it? So,
Don't think I didn't notice that you like included all of those at the end of that last show. No, not the last show, but the show before that.
They included what?
All the fumbling around for theme songs and stuff like that.
Oh, the one where I didn't edit stuff out?
No, you did edit it out. You put it at the end of the...
Oh, right. I forgot I did that. Yeah, they were outtakes.
Right. Outtakes.
Right.
Thank you. All right. So what do we got in our big tech segment?
Well...
Tech segment.
We can talk about whatever you would like, but other than that, I want to talk about this stuff first. But I've been looking for... I like to give people techie stuff because I'm techie. Especially my parents, because I like to spend a little bit more money on them, and I'm trying to bring them into the modern age when it comes to stuff like that. And I was trying to think, what can I get my stepfather? And I thought about the Fire, which was a little bit more than I had wanted to spend. But
you're going to set your father on fire?
No, the Kindle Fire.
Oh, the Kindle Fire.
The Kindle Fire, yes. Exactly. But it doesn't have 3G, and he's used to using his Android phone, and he likes to do all the weather apps and all that when he's at the theater, and he wants to see where the clouds are going and all that kind of stuff because he has an Android phone. And I don't know if you could tether that to the Kindle, and it might be complicated, and I don't know if he'd use it. And that's a lot of money to spend if he's just going to end up using his phone for stuff.
Yes.
And then I was thinking, he likes to work out a lot. So I was looking at this thing called a Fitbit.
A Fitbit.
And what it does is it's a pedometer, and it also monitors sleep, and it does various things. You wear it all day long, and it basically tells you how many calories you've burned, how many steps you've taken, all this kind of stuff. And it wirelessly sends this information to the website. They have a website, and you get a free account with the website, and you can go on there, and you can log your eating, and you can log your blood pressure, and all of this stuff. And that looked like a good item. So that's one of the things I'm thinking about for him. I just wanted to, see if anyone else, our listeners, had any ideas. There are other items that do that. I mean, Leo Laporte's wearing this new thing by Jawbone that does something similar, but you have to have an iPhone currently because you have to hook it into your iPhone. Yeah. And then there was this thing called a body bug that did something similar. But I was thinking about that and then something else because it's only like $99.
Yeah, I know that the as far as the heart rate monitors and stuff like that, the ones that go around your chest are much more accurate than the ones from like inside your watch and stuff.
I don't know. He has something that he puts around his chest when he works out. So I was just thinking maybe he'd be interested in knowing, old men like to know how many steps they've taken in a day. Right. We had a principal at school that had he had some kind of clicker he would take around with him, and he would I don't know what he would do, but
just wrong. He was just some crazy old guy that clicked on those things.
So I don't know.
No, I don't know because I'm in the same boat, right? Except my parents are not fans of technology, so we're constantly my brother seems to think that he's going to get mom and dad both Kindles this year, and I'm telling him, I'm just like, they're not going to use them.
Well, that's
they're
the
not
thing.
Going to buy books on Kindle. They're not going to grasp that concept.
I mean, what do you get your loved ones if you want to get something cool? Because I don't just want to get mom sweater.
It depends. Because I know what to get people like my age, and I know what to get people that are into technology and stuff. I know what to get them that's cool. I don't know what to get older. But that sounds like a question for Dr. Wesley P. Stone. And just as a side note, I will be out of town next weekend looking for a place to live in Connecticut. And I believe Dr. Wesley P. Stone will be filling in for me on this show. So perhaps you could ask Dr. Wesley P. Stone what people who hate technology want for Christmas.
Well, and it's not even that they hate technology. It's that I have to be careful because they're set in their ways and they have certain ways that I think I've mentioned that my mom and my stepdad are on Facebook, but the way that my mom gets her Facebook messages is my stepdad goes on there and prints each individual one of them out. And she sits there and reads the Facebook messages, and then she will write down a note that she wants to say back to someone, and he will go back and whatever. Now, my mom does know how to use a computer because she has to enter her grades, set up her grade book. All of that is online at her school. So she uses a computer.
But just not with Facebook.
No. Because I thought about getting them both Kindles as well, but I don't know whether they would think that they'd rather have paper, than looking at something on a screen. So I don't know.
Yeah, see, I when my dad was in the hospital after a surgery, he wanted to they get audiobooks from the library. So like when they take long trips, like on CD that they'll play.
Right.
And so when he was in the hospital, he wanted an audiobook, but they didn't have a portable CD player. So I had a spare iPod, so I just downloaded the audiobook they wanted and put it on the iPod. That didn't fly because they didn't know how to use it. I mean, they just
right.
I don't understand what do these buttons do, and I don't know what that is, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's the other thing. My stepfather listens to audiobooks, and I thought I could get him an Audible subscription. They do those as gifts, you can do a 6-month or 12-month or whatever.
Yes.
And he has an Android phone, so he could. There's an app for Android.
Yes, there is.
He could do that, and I don't know if he would do it or not because he likes to get a physical CD that he can pop into the CD player in his car and listen to the book that way.
An Audible subscription would be a good thing for him because that is one of the options that Audible will let you do.
Is get a CD?
When you download the Audible book on your computer, one of the options is to burn it to CD.
Oh, well, that's an extra step, but I didn't know they allowed you to do that.
Yeah, in other words, you can download it digitally to work on your iPod and it's DRM'd or whatever, but they do allow you to burn a CD from it. I'm going to go back now and look at this and make sure that that is correct, but I know I've heard them advertise on Twit before where they talked about that.
Well, my mom knows how to burn CDs because she's a music teacher and she burns CDs all the time. So between the two of them, they could probably figure that out. I've gotten him audiobooks before, but one audiobook in CD form from like the bookstore is like $50.
Right. And well, Audible, for those of you who don't know, Audible is you can get a free book a month for a membership of whatever the membership is, like $7.49 a month or
no, it's like $15.
$14.95 per month.
It's worth it if you like to read or listen to a lot of books because you get a free book a month. Right. Plus, you get a discount on the other ones. So, and like I was saying, if you went to the bookstore and bought one audiobook on CD, they're like between $40 and $50. So it doesn't matter usually how long the book is. If you pay the $15 a month, you get a free book. You can pick one that's 40 hours or you can pick one that's 5. Usually that doesn't matter unless it's something really long.
Yep.
But so, and I thought maybe I would get him the Fitbit and get him an Audible subscription and do both. Right. So I don't know. There you go.
You're just a big spender. I'm getting my mom a card with kittens on it.
Well, it's not. I'm making more this year, and I like to spend money on my parents. I love my parents, so it's going to be between $100 and $200 a piece.
Well, there you go. We were just never a big spending family for Christmas. So, I mean, we're getting mom and dad a gazebo, but we're going in with it with my brother and sister-in-law. So it's only going to be like, you know, a couple of hundred each.
Yeah, well, it depends on the year. If I'm broke, you know, I get them something small, you know. But I mean, when I have extra money, I spend a little bit more because I like to give people good gifts.
Well, there you go. And then you also have on here tech Christmas gifts. And I honestly, you know, it really kind of depends on the person. There's lots of good gifts out there.
Well, that was sort of the discussion we just had because we went away from exercise. So
yeah, we did.
I'm just saying, if anyone has ideas for techie type Christmas gifts, things that, you know, when you're a techie person and you like to give techie type gifts, what kinds of things can you give to people that are not hugely expensive? Obviously, I can't give everyone who I know an iPad for Christmas, for instance.
No, but you could give them all a Roku because they're cheap now.
Actually, yeah, I gave my parents last year, I gave them a Roku and a subscription to Netflix.
There you go.
And they use that. They really like that. So that was a good one.
Excellent.
So that was it. That's all I wanted to discuss.
The news.
Sorry, my iPad's getting touchy lately. It's an iPad 1, and it's like an old man on its last leg.
She get rid of it. She get an Android tablet.
All
right, go ahead.
I hit the button and it, you know. Okay, so.
What do we have in the news today, Adam?
A passenger on I'll tell you what we have, Daniel. A passenger on a U.S. Airways flight said he was forced to stand for seven.
Now, that's part of Brewer's speech therapy thing. Is this a sad story?
It's kind of a frustrating story.
Okay.
Why?
So then what you want to do is, how does it start again?
A passenger on a U.S. Airways flight.
Okay. A passenger. So what you want to do is, you know, like, well, how are you today, Adam? Oh, that was great. That little squirrel water skiing. A passenger today died in a plane crash. See, you have to do that sudden and abrupt change in tone.
Well, thank you for that advice, Daniel. I really appreciate it. You're such a pal. A passenger on a U.S. Airways flight said he was forced to stand for 7 hours after
seven.
He was squeezed out of his seat by an obese man sitting next to him.
Oh, my God. Was Fatty flying somewhere? What airline was this?
I didn't fly from Alaska to Philadelphia on flight 901, Arthur told Christopher, a consumer advocate who operates Elliott.org. I stood. His size required both armrests to be raised up and allowed for his body to cover half of my seat. It did not allow me to use my seatbelt during takeoff and landing, as well as required me to stand in the aisle and galley area for most of the 7-hour-plus flight. The incident occurred on July 29th, and he said he alerted flight attendants to the problem, but they were unable to accommodate him, according to his account.
What are they supposed to do? I mean, at that point, they're in the air. Excuse me, there's a large fat man next to me. Is there something you could do about that? What, like roll him out the plane or something?
Anyway,
how did this gentleman fit down the aisle? That's what I want to know. How did he fit if he literally took up two seats?
Well, you know, there's...
get down the aisle.
There's a big discussion nowadays because some airlines like Southwest will actually require a customer to pay for two seats if they're over a certain weight or over a certain size. And Southwest has actually enforced that several times and gotten a bunch of flack from the media and everyone else.
They got flack because they charged Kevin Smith.
Well, I mean, there have been other incidents as well where, you know, they've had to apologize and all this kind of stuff.
Well, you know why? Because they're inconsistent about it. Because that's most of these people that complain on Southwest are people that have flown on Southwest two or three times and not gotten charged. And then suddenly at the last minute, they get charged for an extra seat. And it seems to be very arbitrary as to their size requirements. If they would just like decide what the size is, I think everybody would be fine with it.
Yeah. And I don't like to bring up things about weight. I don't know why I chose this story because I, anyway, but I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, we're all human beings and I understand the feelings of people. Some people, you know, have problems with their weight and they can't lose it or whatever. But I think if the person in the seat next to you can't sit in their seat, then, you know,
if you require two seats to fit into the airplane, then you should pay for two seats.
Yeah.
Flying is not a necessity. There are plenty of other forms of transportation.
But you hate to say that, right? I mean, you hate to say that
no,
to someone.
Not really,
you have to pay for two seats.
You have to be really, really big in order to take up two seats.
That's true. But anyway,
I had to pay $90 for my luggage going to Vegas because it was 2 pounds overweight.
Well, luggage is, yeah, I mean, and that's the argument people will make, that you pay for the weight of your luggage. I mean, I've heard some people say we should all stand on a scale when we go in to, like,
well,
you know, get on the plane.
That's being ridiculous.
And then, you know, we pay per pound. So your ticket is per pound.
You should be able to fit in that tiny fucking little seat that they charge you too much money for to start with.
Well, they could. You know how they put the wire thing there and they say your carry-on must fit in this?
Right.
They could put a seat next to it and they could say...
See, what I want... I don't know. Do you watch the Discovery Channel at all, ever? Like documentaries and stuff?
I watch documentaries, usually on Netflix, but...
See, because Japan is so overcrowded, they actually have these coffin hotels. Have you ever seen those?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, where they're like little tubes that you slide into.
Yes.
It's actually a bed, and then right above your head where you're looking up, there's a TV monitor that, you know, you can watch TV.
I have seen that, yep.
See, I want planes to be like that. Just shove me in a tube.
Shove you in a tube.
Let me lay down in a tube with a TV.
Why do you want that?
Because then I wouldn't have to be touching other people. I could sleep. The trip would go faster because I would just be asleep. And
do you want them to knock you out too, or like give you some kind of something? You know, some laughing gas. An unidentified man burst into flames while waiting outside a train station in Sweden, leaving police flummoxed.
Are all these travel-related stories because of the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday, you know, the busiest travel time of the year?
I don't know. I just had to talk about a man bursting into flames.
He burst into flames.
Witnesses,
he spontaneously combusted.
He did. There's an X-Files episode about that.
Yes.
Witnesses said the man was standing outside a music shop at the... Gothenburg Central Station around 10:30 p.m. Sunday.
Oh, he's German. Ask.
When he suddenly caught on fire. He just stood there burning outside the shop, a witness told the paper. After a while, he started screaming.
What's he supposed to do?
There were a few people about, but they just
perhaps he was standing there because there was a large obese man blocking the seat.
It says there were a few people about, but they just watched him. I ran up to him, tore my coat off, and managed to put the fire out together with another guy. The man who sustained serious injuries was taken to Gothenburg's hospital where he was sedated. Police have been at the hospital since the incident trying to piece together what happened. All we know is that it's a man. We have no knowledge of his identity, nor of his age, or any motive, or even the circumstances of the incident.
How he caught on fire.
And he's sedated still, and they said he'll be sedated for a couple of weeks. They do not suspect foul play, however.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for birthdays.
Excellent. You know, why were you asking Gene Lesko? I don't even know what the name of that song is and everything. The name of the song is Happy Birthday.
I didn't know the name of it.
You know, it's sung by Leif Garrett.
I searched for it and I couldn't find it.
Leif Garrett. He was a hottie back in the thing.
Wow. All this talk we did last week of you being quick and...
And by the way, I thought Jean did a fairly good job of guessing the birthday.
She did an excellent job, and I thought that they were hard, and she just totally like nailed most of them. Mm-hmm. So, so here's your first one, and I didn't edit these down, so I don't know.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Are.
Mm-hmm. So it's the person that sings this song?
Yeah.
Sheena E. or Sheila E. or...
Nope.
No?
She was a Christian singer, and then she,
Amy Grant?
Yes.
And then now she's a Christian singer again.
She fornicated with somebody and stopped being a Christian singer, and now she's a Christian singer again.
All right, excellent. Amy Grant.
So Amy Grant, let me see how old she is. Amy Grant is 51, and she was actually on a Christmas special on ABC tonight with her husband, Vince Gill. Okay, and he is speaking of fat people, he's gained some weight. So here's the next one. And I've used this song before, but it's another one on there.
So it's the one last time was Harry Anderson, right?
No, it was the woman.
Oh, Margie Post. So this time it's a male cast member. So
yes.
That would either be Richard Mall, John Larroquette, or Harry Anderson.
It was an attorney.
It was John Larroquette.
It was John Larroquette. He is 64. All right, here's our next one. This is a live performance. So.
Is it someone in the audience clapping?
Every now and then.
Because that would be tough.
Kind of like to do things. Nice. Easy. Somehow.
Oh, it's Tina. It's Tina Turner.
Yeah, we didn't get into this. I didn't listen to this, so I don't know how long it takes to get into the song. It's Proud Mary.
Yeah, it takes a while.
But
I was like, what guy is that? And then I realized, oh, that's Tina Turner.
She is 72.
Wow.
So I guess we won't get into the actual song, which I really like, by the way.
Well, I'm just going to say, 72-year-olds take a while to get to the point.
Apparently so.
I got to talk about a song.
Okay, and
has
here,
to do with a man and a river, and a river down, and a river to river, because that's what they do. They talk about the river.
Now you might need to wait a second on this one.
So are we? Is it the person playing this?
Yeah, and you've already guessed this person once before and we're wrong.
Dizzy Gillespie.
No, that's whose birthday it was the time that you guessed.
No, it was Branson Marsalis' birthday the time that I guessed Dizzy Gillespie. This must be Chuck Mangione.
It is Chuck Mangione, and I don't know if he's alive, but he turned 71.
If he is alive, it feels so good.
Our listeners will correct me if he's dead, Arthur especially.
Arthur, the keeper of death, will let us know.
Apparently. And here's our last one for this week. And I think this guy was hot in the day. He's actually still kind of hot. I should have edited these. Sorry.
I still haven't heard him. This is Billy Idol.
It is Billy Idol. And the funny thing about this song is this song is called Rebel Yell.
Yes.
And I went to Ole Miss, and they're called the Rebels. Every football game, they would play this song at the beginning of the song. So, and everybody would sing along with him. But he is 56. And
56.
Actually, kind of hot still. I saw.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, so happy birthday, Billy Idol. I don't know
happy birthday.
I don't know if you thought that he was attractive.
I don't think it really matters. So happy birthday to everyone. Was that it?
That's it.
All right. Happy birthday to everyone. Excellent.
So I didn't I didn't check to see if we got any voicemails.
You should probably check to see if we have any voicemails. I can tell you this. A good number of our emails are sports ball related. So I feel like we should go there. Now, from the Dubious Intent Plus Sports Center, it's time for Sports Ball Email. What the hell? I don't even know how this theme goes. I thought it ended.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it went bump, 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 bump.
Oh, well. All right. So, yeah, we got a bunch of sports ball related emails.
So why don't you read one of them and I'll check the...
I'm bringing them up right this very moment. So the first one came out, or if you will recall, we noted on a show about the Dallas Cowboy ticket price being very expensive.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. And I think we had something on our Google Plus page about this too, didn't we?
We could have.
Let's see. I'm going there right now also. Let's see, that would have been this one right here. No comment there.
It could have been on the one that I posted under my account.
No, I got it. Anyway, so here we go. Hey, Adam and Daniel, but this comes from Everett, by the way. Hey, Adam and Daniel. Hi, Everett. How you doing?
Hey, Everett.
Yeah, what's going on? You doing all right? Mm-hmm. That's nice.
How's your mom?
Mm-hmm. She doing all right? He says I followed the Big Gay Sex Show, then the Adam and Maddie Show, and now Dubious Intent Plus. You guys have awesome chemistry and I love your segments. Oh, thank you. I wanted to comment on your Dallas Cowboys discussion from episode 16. I am a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and my partner and I were engaged in one of Jerry Jones' suites this past summer at the stadium. Who is Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. The most romantic thing, as my partner asked me, and then we got our photo taken on the center star. So that's out on the field, I guess.
That's so sweet.
If you like sports ball, that's
it's called football. Why are you calling it? If you like the sports ball,
that's what you do. Yeah, I would like to get my wedding picture made on like the Starship Enterprise, but I don't think Robert will go for that. Anyway, they told us the Statue of Liberty could stand up in the middle of the stadium and it still would not touch the top. Even the drain covers have cowboy logos on them. Seriously. Also, as a possible discussion for your tech segment, maybe give every... All right, so wait, let's comment on this. So it's a big palace then.
It is huge, yes.
It's a big, huge palace.
I have not been inside of it. I dropped someone off there one time. They were going to a game, and it literally has one end of it like opens up when it's good weather, and it's huge. I mean, but I didn't think it looked big enough to hold the Statue of Liberty, but evidently it
Perhaps
is.
Perhaps the space shuttle could land there.
Yes, I mean it is huge, and the screen that they have is apparently from like 1 yard line to I don't know which one, but like from the 20 to the 20 or something. It's like this huge, massive screen that they have. And they say that when you go there, you end up just watching the screen because it's so impressive and you don't even look down at the field. But yes.
So I guess that's what everyone's paying for.
The big screen.
Big screen in this big stadium. All right. Then he goes on to say in a different topic and entirely, also as a possible discussion for your tech segment, maybe give everyone reviews of what you think about the Bluetooth app-friendly park itself GPS vehicle systems and which one is the best out there.
I
work for Toyota, and we have the new Intune system just released.
So it is our assignment for the next couple of weeks to go buy each of the vehicles.
He works for Toyota. I think he's going to send us both a parking itself Toyota.
Oh, right. I didn't catch that. So maybe we need to send him our addresses, and then he can have that delivered.
Right now, I have a Scion. Will the new Intune system work in my Scion?
I'm thinking it's an in-car vehicle thing.
Right. So I'm assuming that I don't know anything about the Intune system. I guess, I could Google it right now.
I think the point that we're making right now is that we would love to do that. However, we don't make millions yet on the podcast. So the most we could do at the moment is go over to their website and read you the marketing material for what each of these do, unless we rent them at some point.
Yeah, because, all right, when I... full disclosure, whatever. When I bought my Scion, the reason that I purchased my Scion instead of a Mini Cooper was because the Scion had an iPod interface. And I wanted that. So I purchased my car based on the technology package that was in it. And I still stand by that. Now, as time has gone on and the Apple has changed the interfaces for the iPods, you know, not all iPods work in my car anymore. You know, my original iPod Classic still works in there. But like when I had an iPhone, that wouldn't charge or work inside the with the car adapter, yada, yada, yada. So I know that the car manufacturers are struggling to keep up with the technology, because even if you look at radios that you could have bought aftermarket from even 3 years ago, they were very heavy on SD cards or being able to plug in some kind of USB stick or something like that. So I really kind of like the Microsoft Sync system in reading about it because of all of the different ways that it would pull stuff into the system. So it didn't matter if you were connected via Bluetooth or USB or I guess, I don't remember what the other way you could connect was.
Well, I don't know. You can have wireless internet, so maybe you could connect wirelessly somehow if you
but
had
no matter how you connected to it, it knew enough to pull over your catalogs and then be able to find things and play it through its stereo. But it wasn't until I was in Connecticut and rented a Ford with the MyTouch in it that I actually really saw what it would do. And that was when I decided, yes, I absolutely have to have this. So all I see about the Toyota stuff is just on YouTube. And, you know, I don't know. So it's very
tell
difficult.
You what, since you work for Toyota, why don't you call in and why don't you do a call in and do a review yourself and let us know how it works?
Or since you work for Toyota, just tell your people at Toyota that you talk to these very famous podcasters that have millions of listeners, and they're interested in test driving a Toyota for a couple of weeks with the Intune system, and they will just talk about it on their show.
We will put a banner ad for Toyota on our page.
That would be awesome, because then those two people that go there would see it.
I could have a car that doesn't leak oil for a couple of weeks.
No, I'm just saying, you know, if Toyota wants to, you know, they don't have to give us a car, but if they want to let us test drive one so we can see what it is, I'll be happy to talk about it.
Sure.
I'm just saying. All right, so that was that email. And then we got another thank you, Everett, by the way.
Yes, thank you. I don't think we've ever heard from him, so I appreciate it. But I like emails from new listeners.
We have not heard from him, but he says that he is our number one Iowa fan.
I mean, not that he's a new listener, but I mean, I enjoy getting emails from people who have not emailed, because we have so many listeners and we get emails from the same. And I think, what about all those other people that download the show?
We have 12 listeners, and sometimes we don't hear from the 11th and 12th person. So thank you, Everett. But he's our number one Iowa fan, but it says here that he got married in Dallas.
Yeah. I don't,
and they were in Jerry Jones' suite, so maybe they were from Texas, and then they moved to Iowa?
I don't know.
You know, stranger thing, I heard that there was this one guy that I knew that lived in Texas, and then he moved to Arkansas. Anyway, so
it happens. Some people are crazy. So I'll get the next one, because this is from Terry.
Okay.
The guy in Wisconsin.
Terry, who is not a woman.
Says, why Terry in Wisconsin does not start an email with, quote, hi, how are you? A, when I've known someone for ages, the hi, how are you is implied. I'm old and crotchety is B. C, I really don't care how you are. D, people always say that, but when I actually tell them how I am, they aren't interested, so screw you. E, unlike most people, I sometimes get right to the point. And F, all of the above.
I'm going to go with F.
That said, I want to congratulate you guys on getting through 3 shows in a row without Adam going on about how fat and ugly he is. Well done. However, if you start again, I'll have to make some comments that you won't like. And if I won't say goodbye...
I'm sorry, I was clapping for your thing.
And I won't say goodbye because I'm not going anywhere. Well, thank you, Terry, for that very crabby, snarky Terry.
Then I'm not going to say goodbye.
Terry, do you happen to be quitting smoking at the moment? That is my question for you. Daniel could introduce you to some good drugs.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, Terry.
All right. And our other email here, did we have any voicemails?
Oh, well, yeah, but it's I'm going to play it. Yes, we do have one.
All right. So then this is our last email, though.
Yes.
So our last email here comes from Big Fatty, who apparently is a tragically named person who we've never heard of before. But I will see him on Saturday because I'm going over to Charleston to see him before we leave. Oh, okay. Anyway, Big Fatty says, personal seat licenses are very common with pro and college venues. Look at he like pulled out the thesaurus for this one. For the venues. It generally guarantees seat location for life or an extended period of time. The personal seat license cost is a one-time expense and requires season ticket purchases each year. Sometimes contributions to booster clubs at high levels is also required. Sports ball is not cheap. Don't get me started on the cost of the hot dog.
It's like he's defending them. Like, it's okay that they rape you over the coals for your money or rake you over the coals.
Sports ball's not cheap.
I mean, okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that they make all that money. Good for them.
So now we know. Apparently, you weren't crazy that there really is it really is really expensive to buy a seat in Dallas, Texas.
No, I am crazy, but I was correct.
You were not incorrect about that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Well, thank you, Big Fatty. I don't think you've ever emailed the show either, so I appreciate that. Not that I don't appreciate the people who email on a regular basis. Just saying. So, I have no idea who this is, but I'm going to play this voicemail, okay? And we'll just see.
And I know that you're in now or have been in the MLM industry. I want to introduce you to a program that pays out 100% commissions instantly right into your bank account. It can also help you quickly build your personal downline. Go to www.completecommission.com.
Wait, hold on. Wait, can you say that again? Wait.
Commission.com okay. For details.
www.complete.
So.
Complete commission. Is there two S's in commission?
Well, I only have the Google translation.
He could have picked a.
Says C-O-M-M-I-S-S-I-O-N.
Yeah. The Empower Network. Here's a really tragic thing. They're having some server maintenance right now because their site says we are doing some housekeeping and making some major improvements to our site, you know, so you can't get in there. But the picture is of Hitler.
So we're starting to get...
So what the fuck?
We're starting to get spam voicemails on our line. I don't... Well, thank you for the call, sir.
Oh, thank you.
I've kind of been wanting to make some commission, so I'll have to look that up.
The MLM system, you know, that stands for multi-level marketing.
Ah, so all of our listeners who need money, go over to completecommission.com.
Right. No. If you're a listener of ours and you need money, first send money to us because it's a well-known fact, you know, as counterintuitive as it may be, that for every dollar that you donate to Dubious Intent, it will come back to you tenfold. It says so in the Dubious Intent Bible.
There is a problem with that, sir.
What?
We don't have a way for anyone to donate to us, so they can't.
Oh, sure they can. They can donate to my PayPal's over there on Pride 48. Just donate to that.
Oh, I see how it is. Well, hey, you can just donate directly to my email address.
Right,
that
exactly.
Works just fine.
Exactly. All right. 3, 2, 1.
So that was all of our contact.
That was?
Yeah. Did you not hear that I just played the end?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, no voicemails. I know you're disappointed.
Well, we did. We got the one from the MLM.
Well, yeah, except for that one. Do you think he's a listener of the show?
He might very well be. You never can tell. We didn't know that Everett was a listener of our show until he wrote in.
No, that's true. And I just want to say that we love all of our listeners. And the only reason I say I like to hear from new people is because I'm really interested in like where all of our listeners come from and their lives. And I want to get to know you. I want to be your friend.
Yes.
So contact us.
Contact. And you know, there's a new thing in Google Hangouts now. If you do Google Hangouts with extras, you can actually call phones for free. That you can actually call phones with from within Google Hangouts.
Oh, I didn't know that. Are you meaning so they could call our voicemail line for free? Or?
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you weren't in the United States, maybe you could do that. And you could do all... Oh, my God. Why did you name it that?
I love hot accents.
Why did you name the last episode that?
It wasn't at the beginning.
I know, but you, like, went out of your way to like pick something that you couldn't mention in casual conversation.
Oh, gripe, complain.
Let's see. No, so how would you say that in a way that wasn't just saying it?
I don't know. I think I ended the last show or something, so.
You know, I never listened. I listened, it was almost, the show was almost done when I got back from the Chipotle the other day. And so I didn't actually hear the very ending of the show. I think I heard, you know, I heard all the segments and stuff you guys were wrapping up. I just didn't actually hear the brilliant way in which you worked in the title.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, here, I'll solve this. Honey, can you just read this sentence right here into the microphone?
I can't see it.
Here, use my glasses. Read that sentence into the microphone. Read it.
Not the needle, knitting needle Jerome.
Thank you.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, I have to play it. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. I put my glasses back on. That's 229-234-7587. You can always send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com, or go to the website, you guessed it, dubiousintent.com. Good night.
Good night, Robert.
So, anyway, I will not be here next week. Dr. Wesley P. Stone will be filling in for me. So, if you haven't called our voicemail line in a while, maybe you could call and leave a message for Dr. Wesley Stone.
Yeah, no one wished Gene good luck or anything, so I expect better response this time from the listeners. Although some of them have been commenting on shows 2 and 3 episodes back recently, so I think some of them may be behind.
Well, that's what, you know what, in their defense, we don't call other shows. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should make that a New Year's resolution that we should call the show on. Good night, Adam.
Good night, Daniel.
I don't know. Maybe we should just do it up front. Because now, what are we doing now? We're going into someplace else that has another theme, right? So what is that theme?